Look at this stuff. Isn't it neat? Wouldn't you think my collection's complete? Wouldn't you think I'm the girl who has everything? Look at this trove, treasures untold. How many wonders can one cavern hold? Looking around here, you think, sure, she's got everything.
It's Friday, December 13th, 2013, and this is Two Guys Without a Clue. I'm Dragaroo, and I'm here with my co-host, Catatonic Cat. How are you doing, Catatonic Cat?
Excellent, excellent, as usual.
Excellent, I'm glad to hear it. Mm-hmm. And today, we have some special guests on the show.
We do?
Would you like to introduce them?
Yeah, so we're actually sitting around a square table right now, and to my right is the lovely Denise.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Thank you for being on this podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Yeah.
And then right across from me is we have our first returnee. Some guy actually decided to come back and join us for this podcast.
Does that make him a friend of the show?
Maybe. He likes the show. He's probably our only listener that's like loyal from day one.
I don't actually listen to anything. I just tell them I do.
You know, it's proper podcast etiquette to be introduced before you start talking. So I'm going to... I don't know. Should we just introduce him then? Yeah, then we should just introduce him.
No, let's keep talking about our show. I think people love it when we talk about ourselves.
I'll introduce. We have the knowledge galore.
What?
I can't speak.
Could I have said that better myself? Welcome to the show,
Boss Bretta.
Boss Bretta.
Thank you for having me back.
Thank you for being back.
Thanks for that wonderful introduction.
Yeah, I can't speak, so that's why we have guests on this show. So they could be more eloquent than I.
And now for the opening theme song, brought to you by Catatonic Cat. Let's hear it.
The new one or the old one?
The new one, yeah.
I don't know, that's pretty horrible.
Keep going.
I need more than that.
Oh, okay.
That's pretty good.
That was perfect.
My favorite part was the hand claps that no one can hear.
It's good. It's like...
It became more and more about like tongue like clicking like than anything. That was great.
Yeah, well, the last one was just about...
cymbal crashes.
Yeah. That was not like last time.
Let's wait till he gets it.
There we go. Yeah.
But this is a... I had to change it up. This is a different type of movie.
I like it.
Completely different.
It's an evolving thing.
Yeah, it's probably bad. I don't know. We'll have to have votes on seeing if anyone actually likes my openings. But the reason we changed it is because we have a new movie. And it's a sea theme. And it's called The Little Mermaid.
The Little Mermaid?
The Little Mermaid. Have you heard about this little film?
No, never.
Never? That's good. Have you seen it before?
Yes, but not in a very long time.
Did you see it in theaters?
No.
No.
When did this movie come out?
1989.
No, definitely not then.
No one has seen this in theaters?
No way.
Nope.
VHS.
VHS, yeah?
Yeah.
I think all of us VHS.
For sure.
Yeah.
That is very interesting.
Did you see it in theaters?
I think I saw it at the re-release.
Which one? Because there's sort of a period of time... Disney movies were re-released, what, like every 6 years?
Yeah.
It depends on the popularity. Like, Oliver and Company never really got a re-release.
Oh, never, huh?
Yeah.
Never got a theatrical release.
Did they really do a Little Mermaid?
The 1997 reissue. Yeah. I think I saw it in 1997 with the reissue.
Okay. And they just did it, like, what, last month or like a couple of months ago, right?
September. Yeah.
When they did the 3D release.
The 3D release, yeah.
Yes.
Do they make a big deal about it coming out of the vault every time?
Oh, they, yeah.
The
sure.
Little Mermaid is actually probably one of the biggest ones that. Whenever it comes out of the vault is a big deal. Like Little Mermaid, I think Beauty and the Beast, and
all the princess movies.
Yeah, every single princess movie.
That vault concept is really interesting. An interesting way to artificially control the price of the movies. Like that's why they're like, I think Disney's the only player that does not constantly have like films on digital distribution. Because they're smart enough to realize that if it's always freely available, they wouldn't be able to, you know, drum up the hype machine and get people rushing out to the stores to buy the stuff while it's available for a limited time only.
And the way it actually works really well, too, because they usually catch it at a new generation, and they catch it as a new changing format, right? Mm-hmm. They had VHS, mm-hmm. and that's when the vault was first created. And then the next time a lot of these movies came out, it was just the start of DVD. And so by the time they ran through all the DVDs, they're starting again through the Blu-ray. It's actually, they did it really well timed.
Oh, yeah. No, they know what they're doing on the business side. That's yeah. for sure.
There's a 3D version of this one on Blu-ray.
Oh, that... man, I'd really love to see that.
You just want to see Sebastian coming at you real fast.
Oh, yeah.
The cook, man. It's that cook.
Louis.
Louis, yeah.
Ursula, too.
That's you, know, you don't want to see that coming
yeah,
at
you. She's like dancing and jiggling all over the place. You don't want to see that?
No, I do not want to see a jiggling Ursula.
No, I feel like 3D. That, actually. That sounds actually pretty compelling.
What?
And for the theatrical release, they also did the second screen experience, right?
Right. They did an iPad app that had a second screen. And it was actually a big uproar because a lot of parents or the people were saying, no, there's going to be a lot of like lights in the movie while all these kids have iPads trying to do it.
I mean, do you hear anything about whether the reception, what the reception on that was? Did people actually like it?
I don't think anyone actually did it. I think they pulled it.
Is it? What do you mean?
So what they did is they invited people who were going to go see The Little Mermaid in the theater to bring their iPad or iPod or other
iDevice,
like iOS, you know, device, and they have a companion app that's synchronized to the movie, and so it will give you like trivia, behind the scenes information, interactive games that's all timed to whatever you're seeing on the screen, which is fine for, you know, like a DVD home video. Then they do that a lot, actually. But this is the first time that they tried to bring that into the theater, and I'm genuinely curious to see if people liked it or if we're never going to see that again.
Yeah, it was second screen live. The film was also screened. Yeah, so I don't know. It seems like they might want to use it again, but I don't know what movie would be the next one.
That was only like a limited thing, though, right? They had normal screenings too, or
yes,
they did normal screenings as well.
I do believe that was in a limited number of theaters, but
yeah, I mean, I think that was only for 2 weeks. I think it was only the El Capitan in L.A.
No, there were other places, there was too. Others. I know for a fact that they did screenings up in South Bay.
That was returned.
I wonder how that would work, though. I know initially when they started doing the second screen. So I have the second screen app for Bambi and The Lion King, because they did that a lot when they were doing the Blu-ray releases.
Apparently, you play games against other people.
Oh, wait, they're against other people in the theater?
Yeah, so viewers will be able to watch Ariel, Flounder, and Sebastian while playing against other moviegoers on their device.
Wow, that's way more elaborate then, because the Bambi app synced with your movie by using the microphone. There would be a special audio track that it would listen into for cues and then sync whatever you're looking at on your iPad.
You can sing along. That's cool. You get to find new surprises.
Sing along.
And compete with the audience.
That sounds like the worst movie going experience I've ever heard of.
And there were 6 participating theaters. Los Angeles, El Capitan, City Center in White Plains, New York, Farmingdale in Farmingdale, New York, and one in Thousand Oaks, California, and another in New York.
So basically just all LA.
And Garden State, New Jersey.
LA and New Jersey and South Bay or something?
No.
There wasn't any in South LA, Bay.
Yeah. Just LA. Basically, New York and LA.
Huh. Well, in Thousand Oaks.
Do people even watch the screen at all in those? I feel like they're just playing an iPad game the whole time or something.
I'm going to download it right now. We'll see.
I don't know. All right, well. Yeah, I wonder what infrastructure would be like to support that then, especially if you're playing with other people in the same theater. So the later apps, the second screen apps, actually connect to your Blu-ray player over Wi-Fi. Which makes it a little bit less obnoxious, because like if you go away from whatever you're doing to do an activity, like to paint or whatever, then it would get desynced and it wasn't awesome. But it's improved, and then I guess they wanted to take it to the next level. But I would be suspect if they brought that back for anything else, unless I guess the only way it would work is if you brought it in for a movie where it was being re-released and they just need some gimmick to.
I don't think you need a gimmick for this.
Is it less about watching the movie and more about like a gaming?
Well, that was the experience. Complaint by a lot of people. They're like, there's going to be this crazy screen. No, none of the kids are actually going to watch the movie.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, I want to know what was the actual response though?
I think that was the response. Oh, how people felt about actually.
Yeah, people who actually did it.
I don't know.
Because, yeah, I can, the idea doesn't really sound that awesome to me. Like, especially if you just want to watch the movie, then yeah, that sounds like a nightmare. But otherwise, like, are we going to see more of that?
The review's bad. Don't bring it. Super fun. Took our six-year-old, so super fun too bad.
It might be a good strategy for keeping kids to stay put for a whole hour and something movie.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I guess.
So it works with the Blu-ray copy.
In that case, like, you'd almost think it'd just be better to watch it at home.
Yeah. Well, I think that was part of the point, right? They wanted to also do it as a home experience, so.
Yeah.
But it's interesting because that's only the second re-release of The Little Mermaid. So this is right around the time, by the time they were going to do re-releases, the VHS market actually took off and they were able to actually distribute their movies in a way that they could never do before.
Well, it kind of destroyed their system of re-releasing movies theatrically,
which was the vault, right?
So that's why they're doing stuff like this to keep people coming back.
Or the 3D Lion King.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. They actually did an IMAX release for the 3D Lion King.
Oh my god.
How many times did you see it?
I may have lost count. But second screen aside, let's talk a little bit about The Little Mermaid. So you said you saw the release in 1997?
Think I saw the release in 97. I remember seeing this in theaters.
Oh. Uh-huh. And what did you think at the time?
I thought it was a cool movie. I liked this movie.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Would you rank this up in among the upper echelon of films that you enjoy?
Can you repeat that?
Echelon?
Yeah.
The upper echelon?
Yeah. Yeah, I would actually say this is one of the better films. I like the music. The music is one of the best parts of this film.
Okay.
And the puns. The puns are great.
Yeah. For sure. The puns are quality. Okay.
I mean, should we talk about when the movie was released?
Sure.
It was released in 1989, and it's actually one of the longer films. It's about 82 minutes when everything else was averaging around 70. So it's definitely a length change of the movies.
Uh-huh.
That's pretty significant in little kid time.
It's
like 12 minutes more.
Yeah.
To pay attention.
It was budgeted for $40 million, and its total box office to date is $211 million. Considering there's only two re-releases and they're pretty limited, that's a pretty substantial amount coming from the first release. And it's a story about mermaids. One mermaid.
A mermaid.
The littlest mermaid.
But... why is it called a Little Mermaid? Because she's not that little.
She's the youngest. She's okay.
It just makes her sound like a cute little girl.
She's 16.
But yeah. She wants to fall in love and kiss a prince and stuff.
Yep. That's all it takes. That's all. I mean, that's all any little kid just wants to do that, right? Little girl.
Or I guess they could have just called it Ariel. I don't know how much that title would take off, though.
Oh wow, that's crazy! Do you know why they re-released the film? It's to compete with when Anastasia was released by Don Bluth and Fox Animation.
Really?
Yeah,
it's like a smokescreen or something.
They probably didn't need to do that. Not much competition there.
So, Little Mermaid was the first animated feature to earn more than $100 million and become a blockbuster.
Hmm. What were, I forget, what did any other Disney movie do even close to as well as this?
After this or before this?
Before.
I think
after.
In gross total, yes, after the many, many re-releases. But this is probably after six or seven re-releases. This is on its first.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Wow, this is a great podcast, guys. So, should we talk about the plot?
Yes.
All right. So, we have Ariel, and she's a misguided teenager.
I don't know if I'd say misguided. She's very curious.
Okay, and she's curious not about the ocean world, but more about the human world.
Mm-hmm.
And she explores sunken ships and just tries to find all these thingle-bobs and doohickeys and what? Snorkel?
Snorblast? I don't know, idea. Pipes.
And what do you call them? Feet? She likes feet. She thinks they're...
Yeah, she wants some...
She wants some feet. She wants to be a human, basically. So she doesn't like her world. She's like, this is boring. It's very interesting.
She's a bit of an adventurer. She likes to go on like archaeological digs.
Yeah. And she
like, you know, is running away from sharks, and she's just kind of like still enjoying herself.
She's also a hoarder.
Yes.
But I would say she's more of like a librarian. She seems to know all the stuff that she has and then categorize them and then put them into one place.
Yeah, it's pretty organized.
Yeah. So she's not like just a hoarder.
It's not all stacked up in a corner or something.
But she's a curator for the human world. So it's like what Ron's dad does in Harry Potter. They like muggle, the Department of Muggle things.
Oh, I never thought about that.
Yeah. So it's basically like that. So she's the sole adventurer to do this.
What do you think that is? Is that because it's forbidden from everyone else to do this? Like, do you think?
I think it's very clear that it's forbidden, right? I mean, King Triton basically says it's forbidden to interact with the human world.
Right.
Don't be seen. Don't talk to them. Don't try to do anything with them. So I think
would that also make her kind of like a rebellious person as well?
Yeah, I think she's a rebellious teenager.
Uh-huh.
But she's also very OCD-like.
Okay.
Yeah, she's an absent-minded professor. She forgets her own singing debut.
Oh, that's right.
She's like,
I love that scene, the opening scene, because, you know, they're all just really have this grand build-up for Ariel, and everyone's there, and then they're like, it's our sister Ariel. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Well, it's like a debutante, right? It's the in the South here in America. There's this coming out party, right?
Exactly.
And so it'd be equivalent to that. That's what she's turning 16. It's her sweet 16 party that she didn't show up for,
which she obviously does not care about.
No,
she's totally disinterested with the world that she lives in.
Yeah, she's so she wants
to
know.
Heads in the clouds.
Yeah, I mean, what? If you told her that you can go to the moon, I think she would give up the Earth to go travel in space.
Screw this castle.
Right? She'd be like, this is... What castle? Name. There's a moon up there. I want to know what that is. She would do it.
I think she would, too.
She would give up her, like, legs to be able to go up into the space and be like, let's go see the sun and Jupiter and things like that. So Prince Eric would just be left there.
Right.
How do you know that she doesn't do something like that to Prince Eric?
We don't know.
Find some new obsession.
We don't know.
And she just leaves everyone in her life eventually.
Oh, man.
That's entirely possible. Yeah, maybe she's just going for the rush, right? She's just going for the ride.
And once they settle down, she's like, oh, man, this is terrible.
Oh, yeah. Because they do have a
this guy just plays the flute all the time. I don't really like it.
But the dog is cool. Prince Eric's dog.
Max.
Yes. Yeah. He's a...
Do you think the dog would keep things interesting enough for Ariel for her to
stay? No.
Or you think... Well, she's going to want to be a dog after she's a human.
Maybe. I don't know. Who knows?
She's going to live 1,000 lives. She just has to go back to the sea every now and then and be like, Daddy.
Well, so if Ariel is the daughter of Triton, does that make her immortal?
I don't think Triton is immortal.
Triton himself is not immortal. He's a god, though, right?
No.
I think they based his name off, though. The god, right?
Isn't but like he is the, not the god.
The son of Poseidon or something like this?
Yes.
Yeah.
Triton is the son of Poseidon, I believe.
Yeah, but he is a demigod, not a god, which means he's not immortal.
Oh, I see.
You'll find out about that in another movie upcoming.
Yeah. The Hercules movie?
Correct.
Yes. I'm
just talking about demigods in general, not Triton's history, full background.
Yeah, so he's king of the...
Speaking of Triton, he's super ripped.
Why is he? Because he just has this trident that can do everything for him. You figured he'd just be sitting there just like waving that thing.
And he seems like a really nice guy other than when he's yelling at his daughter.
I think he's just
kind of a
pushover
daddy, you know?
He's a pushover. He has how many daughters? He's like
seven.
Seven daughters. That's
a lot of daughters.
No wife?
Perhaps
so
she'd
they
die.
Do explain the wife in Ariel Beginnings, which is the third movie of this thing, and they say that the wife got killed by the humans, which is why Trident doesn't like humans.
That makes sense.
That's not a terrible, yeah, retcon for the storyline at all, actually.
No, there's a lot of people that die in this movie, so, or a lot of things die.
Yeah, I was actually surprised by how serious it was. Like, of course, like when I first saw it, I was so young, and then it's been a while since I've seen it last, but it's actually held up really, really well.
It's a really good movie, I think.
I really, really liked it, actually.
Yeah, and I mean, it's an interesting kind of concept because Ariel, for half the movie, speaks, and then half the movie does not speak. She has a lot of parts that is just, she's silent.
Yeah, they have a really good, like, ensemble, like, character cast, though. Scuttle, yeah. He was, like, the awesomest comic relief of the movie, in my opinion.
Him and Flounder.
Flounder, Sebastian, of course.
Sebastian's good. He's that straight and narrow guy.
So. Yeah, I agree. The character, the cast all around is extremely strong, and especially, like you said.
Yeah, there's not dead weight anywhere in the characters. As far as I can tell.
Flounder gives the audience the ability to... is the voice and the eyes of the audience, which is really nice. And I think for at least the kids, I think Sebastian brings in the voice and the eyes of the audience from the adult perspective. And then Scuttle is that uncle that's crazy. He's just like, what is he talking about?
Yeah.
He has good intentions.
Yeah, he's a good intention guy that has no idea what he's talking about.
He has so much conviction, though, behind everything he says. He's absolutely sure.
Of course. Why would anyone doubt him? He's traveled the world.
Yeah. Well, yeah, relative to everyone. He has an incredible amount of breadth and experience.
Yeah. He recognizes the pipe instantaneously and knows what it is. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not like he makes up these words and forgets about them and makes a new word when he sees the thing again. No, he's very consistent on the made-up words that he has. So, in his mind, he's a genius.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's very strange, though, to come to this film right off the back of Oliver and Company, where you also had a very, very varied and unique cast, but none of them were even close to being quite as compelling or quite as real. I think one of the big things that this movie does very well, though, is it shows kind of the fault, kind of the Achilles heel in every character, and kind of makes them more
human
as a result.
Yeah. No, I think there's a lot more character development. You connected with each one of the characters in some way.
And they're far more dependent on each other.
Yeah, they're a group of people.
I would say the only outlier for that is Flounder. He doesn't really have a purpose other than just kind of being around and cheering her on.
Well, he's a sidekick.
Yeah,
he doesn't have any flaws or anything, I don't think. Like
he's scared.
Donnie's talking
about. Super scared of everything. He's a scaredy cat.
But he does go with Ariel on everything, regardless of the consequences.
He's bullied. Ariel bullies Flounder. That's what happens.
Behind the scenes action.
I don't think it's even behind the scenes. I think in front of everyone, you see, oh, come on. And then she does it subtly, like, oh, you're going to be out here with a shark. And it's like, you know, I don't want to be out here with a shark by myself. I'll come in. Man, that shark was crazy.
He was eating the boat.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it.
He's like, chomp, 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 chomp.
Yeah, I think the Flounder is absolutely critical to the film. Because otherwise, if you're going to those scenes where, like, she's in her grotto and she's, you know, going around talking about everything, if she was doing that by herself, alone, like, just talking to herself, then she would look absolutely insane. And there's no
more
way.
Insane than when she looks now, huh?
Yeah, then you'd probably, like, be compelled to agree with Triton. Like, just blow everything up, please.
Exactly.
Save
exactly.
So Flounder,
I guess you're right. Okay.
Flounder is...
But he's more of, like, a foil than anything.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
I do agree. Definitely. Flounder could have maybe had a little more pizzazz.
I think he's good enough. I mean, I think the way I've always seen him is he is the kid's... He's every kid, right? For the movie.
Every kid. I like it.
He was definitely really cute.
Yeah, he's a kid. He's like 2 year old. He's not much older than like 2 or 5.
2 or 5.
Yeah, not anything between.
Did you guys, on a side note, did you guys ever see the sequel to Little Mermaid?
Ah, yes.
Little Mermaid 2?
I have seen that.
I'm afraid not.
Return to the Sea?
Return to the Sea.
I thought you saw all the sequels. Dragon
Roo? No, I missed this set.
Because Flounder, he was so cute. And
he looks so ugly. Oh my God.
Oh, is he like just, the teenager?
He grew up. He is a father.
He's a father and has little baby fishes now. What? But he just became like this ugly fat fish. I don't know. Like,
he had a hairdo change. It was crazy.
Wait. So how far in the future is this?
So Ariel has... It's Ariel's kid. What's her name?
Melody.
Melody, right? And so they basically build this wall.
Wait. Stop it. The whole movie is about Melody?
Yeah.
About Ariel's daughter.
Yes. And it's returned to the sea. So the kingdom, I forgot. I don't know if they even say what the kingdom's name is.
Atlantica?
No, they have Atlantis, but it's the other kingdom. Prince Eric's kingdom. Oh, King Eric at this point. They built a big sea wall, so it kind of cuts off the sea from them, so no one actually goes into the ocean.
Why did they do that?
To protect her.
Protect her, Melody and...
From Ursula's crazy sister.
Yeah.
Great. Okay. So, and Melody is half mermaid or something?
Yeah, which is kind of crazy.
Does she have legs or...
She has legs. Yeah, she's human looking for a part of the film. Actually, only a little bit part of the film. Majority of the film, she's a mermaid.
Okay.
So, she escapes and goes into the ocean because she basically has the same wide-eyed
curiosity
as her mother, except in the reverse way.
She wants to go to the ocean and of course Ariel's like, no, you can't because Ursula's sister is going to kill you.
Yeah.
Like, don't do it. And so, but you know, of course, Melody's like, doesn't want to listen.
What are you talking about, Mom?
Why does the SeaWorld put up with these witch sisters and daughters or whatever? They banish them, but then...
They just come out of nowhere and just ruin everybody's life.
Why don't they just kill them? Like, they kill everything else in these movies.
They're just trying to maintain the status quo. That's why. They need a constant threat in order for them to stay in power, right?
I guess so. King Triton knows what's up.
Yeah. I think Ursula and King Triton had a pretty good working relationship, and then, you know, she just went a little too far.
So I read somewhere that they were going to make Ursula King Triton's sister.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That makes a little bit sense.
For some reason, I don't know, probably in like a deleted scene or backstory, I don't know, but she got banished. And then,
because she probably was doing a power grab. I'm trying to see if there's anything about this, but that would make sense. It just seems like Ursula didn't have enough of a backstory. But maybe that's good. She's still creepy.
Villains don't really need a backstory,
I guess. A lot of the Disney movies, villains don't have a lot of backstory to them. They're just mean people for no reason.
Oh, yeah. You know, there's a very definitive black and white to that. Like, this is evil. This is good. This is how the world is. Don't worry about it.
I don't think it was until, I can't remember any movies like that until maybe Pixar era or something where they become evil for a reason.
Right.
So is Scuttle somehow related to the other bird in Rescuers?
I want to think so. I'd like to think so. Yeah.
So he's related to, what's his name?
I didn't watch that pile of garbage with you guys.
You're thinking of the voice actor?
No, I'm talking about the actual...
The actual name of the bird?
Yeah.
What's the name of the albatross?
Why can't I remember? Wilbur.
Yeah, there you go.
Right, because the next one is Orville. Because they named him after the Wright brothers.
Genius.
I think they're related. They have the same kind of whimsy about them.
That's interesting. They reinforce that imagery of these big, stupid white birds.
They fly.
But it works out.
Yeah, I mean, I liked it. Scuttle is great.
Yeah.
Like, I think he has to have his own show.
I was actually worried, like, when the movie started that he was just going to be more annoying than I remembered.
Really?
Fortunately, his involvement was kept to a minimum. Just to, like, the funny parts. Yeah, actually, I don't know, the really annoying characters... kind of the ones that show up at the most inopportune times and like ruin the moment, I guess. But he wasn't like that.
No. And I mean, this is also the most, I always forgot that Prince Eric is actually more in this film than other princes.
I forgot too.
Right?
I did not realize that at all.
This is a prince that from the beginning to the end is actually in the film and is important to the storyline and is there more than just to kiss the girl, pun intended. And
shouldn't have laughed at that. I'm sorry.
And kill the evil witch, right? We don't see much in Snow White. He's there for a little bit, doesn't even speak. And Cinderella, he's not much of a prince. He's kind of there as an image.
This Eric is basically the prince from Cinderella. I forget his name, but with more character development.
You think
they have the same personality?
I don't think the other guy had a personality.
Well, he was like bored with all, you know, the ladies until he found just the right one. So a similar type of thing. And he's getting pressure to get married and things like that, too.
Ah, okay. So just normal princey things.
Disney princey things.
Prince problems.
Prince problems. It's like first world problems, but yeah. Prince problems.
Prince problems.
But I like to the character design.
You know what I was thinking of when I was like, I was thinking of like Superman, like Clark Kent, because he has like the whole dark hair and light eyes look going on. He had like that statue of him like being all heroic. Yeah.
So he's just Superman, is what you're saying?
I guess so.
Got it. So he's Clark Kent.
He is pretty strong. This other one guy is like struggling to pull a rope and he just grabs with one arm. He's like, oh, I'll help you out, buddy.
he's pretty strong. And then he's musical.
Yeah. He has disposable flutes.
Apparently. He just has a whole basket full of them. He threw one in the ocean one night when he was almost going to give up looking for the girl with the beautiful voice who saved him.
Yeah, then he tries to marry. I guess he's expelled, enchanted by Ursula. As basically a non-redheaded version of Ariel. But you still thought she was ugly.
I guess. Like, I don't know. She was no Ariel. Just Ariel was better. I'm biased. Sorry.
Got it. Did you ever watch Charmed?
A little bit. It's been a really long time, though.
Yeah.
What does that have to do with anything?
Oh, I will get to it. Let me get to my thought.
I cannot wait. This is going to be great, guys.
The train of thought I'm doing is Alyssa Milano was the basis character of development for Ariel. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, so a lot of the how she looks, facial features and stuff is based off of Alyssa Milano.
She didn't look anything like Alyssa Milano.
Have you ever seen a young... Well, she's pretty young then.
Yeah, it's a young Alyssa Milano.
She's in that movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger as a young kid. Maybe you guys don't.
Yes, I remember this one.
Commando, I believe is what it is. I can see the resemblance a little bit.
Yeah, let me see if I can get a picture.
Yeah, why don't you show us this picture on this podcast? Yeah.
I'll just show you a picture.
Describe every single detail perfectly.
There you go.
Oh, so she was really young. Like a little girl. I was like thinking of an adult Alyssa Milano.
No, it was like 12-year-old Alyssa Milano.
Okay, I can see it now.
So describe to me what we're looking at.
Basically a child with big eyes, big white eyes. And
with the bangs. It's just the same bangs.
She has the impossible bangs almost.
Ariel has amazing hair, by the way.
Always looks good, even when she runs a fork through it.
Yeah.
Or whatever it's called.
Especially when she runs a fork through it.
Oh, yeah.
I gotta say, the fork seems like a good hairstyling equipment. Why don't we use it more?
I feel like she was committed to that. Like, even after, she probably would have clued into the point that it was wrong.
Did she was
when everyone looked at her, she was embarrassed. She did it that night anyway.
She was still doing it. She was like, you could see her, and Prince Eric is looking at her through the window, and she's just like, normally when you have a brush, she's doing the exact same movements with a fork.
It's a little bit odd when you consider that you know, everyone is seeing this, and nobody seems to be alarmed by this.
Well, she's also a girl that doesn't speak, and everyone's pushing Prince Eric to, like, marry her. They're pretty much bigger. Like,
if you're hot enough, no one gives a shit.
Is that the moral of the story?
Yeah. Well, that's what Ursula says. You don't need your voice, right? All you have to do is bat your eyes and...
It's all about body language.
Yeah.
Yeah,
she says
that
she
right.
bulges her nasty body out of you.
She's like, boom, boom. Oh, this is just...
Ursula
is creepy.
I think you're right. You guys are right, Ursula is the most disgusting evil villain for no reason, it seems, that I can think of in a Disney movie.
Yeah, but she is one of the greatest.
Yeah,
Disney
she's
villains.
So powerful.
She's good because of that. Yeah. She's just repulsive
and
in every
way. She's
just
naturally like evil. Like you can tell just not just by looking at her, but her personality is just awful. She's so manipulative.
But she's very good at it, and you can tell she's enjoying what she does.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Which makes it.
It makes it that much scarier.
Yeah.
The threat's so real. I don't know.
Her minions are cool too, though.
The eels?
Are they eels?
They are eels.
They are eels.
I think they're supposed to be moray eels, specifically.
Oh, okay.
Cool.
All right.
Can you tell us more about moray eels?
Hey, man, yeah, Catatonic Cat's always putting fun facts out there. I thought I would join in on it.
No one likes my fun facts.
I like them.
Oh, that's why you put it out there. So, I was looking at the kingdom, and I was trying to figure out, were there any other redheaded people in the kingdom?
No, Ariel is a genetic freak, I'm pretty sure.
So, is this how we get Irish redheads?
Irish redheads?
Well, I mean, redheads in general, because if...
Oh, if they're all part mermaid?
Yeah.
This could be a thing.
Okay. This could be a thing.
You might be onto something.
I think I might be.
Do you believe in mermaids or Catatonic Cat?
I don't think so. Maybe. It's possible. That would be cool, though. Would you turn into a mermaid if you had the opportunity?
The ocean is a kind of a scary place.
You just like land. You don't like the space. You don't like the ocean.
The ocean was so...
vast and unknowable.
Well, it's also quite light and sunny looking in, you know, movies. But, you know, really, there's these crazy, like, glow-in-the-dark monsters down there. I don't know.
Yeah.
So maybe mermaids don't actually look so much like people. They look more like monsters.
There's a lot of horror story versions of mermaids that are really creepy.
Oh, man.
Or like merman or something. Yeah, mer people.
Yeah.
Based on that same theory, I would think.
Right,
sea creatures are all...
evil, right?
Yeah.
They're like...
they look like horrifying, aliens. Every one of them.
Yeah.
I don't know. What has them as being like these crazy aliens?
Cabin in the Woods, for one, is what I was referring to.
Spoiler alert.
No. Not really.
Yeah, I could see there being other... The Splash. I'm always reminded of Splash when I see this movie.
Daryl Hannah?
Yeah, the 1984 movie. Because it's a live-action version of almost Little Mermaid.
I think I liked that movie a lot when I was a little kid, but I have no idea why.
Well, it's basically a live-action version of Little Mermaid.
Yeah, sort of.
Yeah.
But it's got Tom Hanks, so it's better.
Than this one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, no. This movie was so good.
You had to debate here.
I am actually, like, really... I actually thought this movie was amazing. I thought... It's been several years since I've last seen it. And, you know, looking back at it, I'm like, oh, she has to fall in love with... or make him kiss her in 3 days. Like,
that's
really?
Pretty intense.
And, you know, the love story sounds like, oh, she's just, like, you know, 16-year-old... falling in love at first sight kind of thing. But I was actually really touched by the whole movie.
You know what's really sad? You know the guy that played Grimsby?
No.
Grimsby.
Grimsby.
Grimsby. Mm-hmm. This is the guy that...
with the ponytail.
With the ponytail, right? He died.
The, like, manservant guy?
Yeah.
And the guy who voiced, I think, King Triton as well.
Yeah, he died July 2nd, 1989, before this movie even came out.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh.
This is his last movie.
So before the movie came out.
Yeah. King Triton also died?
Well, that was more recent.
I think he just died.
Yeah, that was very recent.
But,
So we won't be hearing his voice in future Little Mermaid.
Ariel 4.
Ariel 4.
With a vengeance.
Ariel 4 with a vengeance? What does that even mean?
It's up to Disney to decide.
I like Ariel 4, off to the space.
What's it called, Ariel 4? Is it like Little Mermaid?
You're the one who said Ariel might be a good alternative name. There's a spinoff called Ariel that's not even here yet, and we're talking about the fourth one of those.
Awesome.
Ariel in space?
Yeah.
That's what you think it should be. Oh,
God. Why not? If she is immortal, she's going to outlive Prince Eric.
Oh, now it's like a Lord of the Rings situation with Arwen.
Yeah. What is she going to do? She got to go to space, right? Meet a space alien dude.
Okay.
Yeah. Make it happen.
That's exactly what she has to do. There's no other alternative.
That seems logical to me.
Uh-huh. I liked... The chef, Chef Louis.
Chef Louis was my favorite. I I had completely forgotten about him until I saw one quick glance at him. I remembered.
Is he French? Is he Italian?
He's definitely French.
He's definitely French.
He says Sacre Bleu.
Sacre Bleu.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And ho 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 ha ha ha.
Can you do that again?
Nope.
That's okay. Good thing we're recording this thing. We can always edit back in.
Just make it a sound bite. And
the sound bite.
I'll charge you. It'll
be my ringtone for you from now on.
Okay. That'd be pretty cool, actually.
But he is determined to eat like the smallest crab, which is
he can't miss even one.
No. I love his song though. You said you think he sings it every time he cooks?
Of course. Wouldn't you?
I gotta give it to him, the guy. He can debone a fish pretty fast. Like
every day he's cooking fish for the kingdom. Come on.
That's true. Did Ariel ever eat the crab?
That no one knows.
Speaking of that, there's kind of a lot of like awkward fade outs in the movie with no resolution to some of the problems.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That's one of them.
Oh, yeah. Like when Sebastian ran off the plate and the guy Grimsby was about to eat it and he just looks at the plate and it fades out.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like, now she's combing her hair with a fork. Isn't that lovely?
I think a lot of times it's you that, I mean, there's no resolution there that would be entertaining.
Right. Yeah.
It would either just be like really grim or otherwise unsatisfied.
Right.
What I loved was the tone and the songs that they put in this one were great. They weren't trying to hit like certain genre of songs. They did songs that seemed to try to worked for the scenery that they were trying to build.
Mm-hmm. Like a musical. Was this like the first film that really incorporated this kind of music into it, or were there any before?
I mean, there a lot of the other films had music, but we just kind of discussed this on Oliver and Company, where they
supposed to be a Broadway, right?
They tried to be and they failed.
Well, I mean, that's the
intention. Failed. It just wasn't very good.
That's a failure.
I don't think there's any other one with this many songs in it, is there?
With this many songs so before this? Singing songs or just songs in general? Because I think
singing songs
like break off into a musical type of singing. I don't think so.
Cinderella is probably the one that comes the closest.
Yeah, that one had a few.
Yeah, because it's the mice and they're singing, and there's a lot of mice singing stuff.
I would say that this movie definitely started that era, though.
Right,
where just every one became a musical,
which is great. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Mm. It was good songs.
Yeah.
Really good songs.
It was good songs.
I was hoping you didn't catch that. Thank you for now announcing those songs.
I have to call these guys out, and I have to call you out.
But the songs were great, and they didn't try to do a genre of songs. They did songs that fit, right? You have this nice Jamaican beat of Under the Sea. But
there's all kinds of interest in that song.
Yeah, it was great. I love the fish and the plane.
Down here or the fish is happy as off through the waves they roll. The fish on the land ain't happy. They shout 'cause they in the bowl. But fish in the bowl is lucky. They in for a worse of fate. One day when the boss get hungry, yes, you go beyond the pay. But no, under the sea.
Ariel and Flanders kind of bounce after the ending. I think it's so bored with it.
He just whispers to her, he's like, hey, this party sucks. You know? They just unceremoniously leave.
I love the ending of that song, though. You know, all the fish are there, and Sebastian's there, and Ariel's not there, and the light just totally like blackens, like boom, like.
And then all the fish just leave, right? There's like no sign of those
Sebastian
fish.
Sebastian all alone.
I think in that sense, that's what would make this more like a definitive musical, a Disney musical at any rate, more so than a movie like Cinderella, is because they actually set up stage pieces.
Oh,
like,
it's totally staged.
This is how you would stage like a musical if you're going to do this.
Which they did. There is a little mermaid musical.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah, most of the Disney ones with this many songs have musicals. I think Beauty and the Beast, Little Mermaid, Frozen is definitely going to be one. That's pretty much a musical. But yeah, I agree. I love the cutscenes, those fade out scenes. Mm-hmm. It's basically where a curtain should drop.
Yep.
And it's perfect. They have a lot. They have three or four of them, so it's like probably three, four acts, which is really good.
Yeah, I do agree though. The songwriting was, the songs were just all really strong. They worked. None of them were distracting. None of them were like, like this would be better told in non-song format. None of them were like songs for the sake of being a song. Like everything seemed to work.
Yeah,
I wasn't a huge fan of Ursula's song overall. That was the only one that
poor,
I didn't like.
Unfortunate souls.
Yeah,
I like the song. It's not
just
the most memorable.
Her voice is terrible.
Who
but
was
it's supposed to be?
Her?
I'm not saying like she can't sing, but she's playing this character who has a gross voice. Basically.
Come on, you poor unfortunate soul. Go ahead, make your choice. I'm a very busy woman, and I haven't got all day. It won't cost much. Just your voice. You poor unfortunate soul.
I thought it was okay. I thought it was fitting.
Well, you're lenient on everything.
Yeah,
essentially. It is fitting, but it wasn't fun to listen to, I would say.
Pat Carroll
musically.
I don't know. I actually did like that song.
Well, we'll agree to disagree.
She also played the voice of Morgana in the sequel.
That makes sense. I'm like, this voice sounds really familiar when I was like
listening
to her.
I guess they were like, oh, we need to make a sequel. Oh, we killed our villain. Okay, we'll just
make
a
sister.
I don't
know if you guys need to watch the opening to that when Morgana makes her entrance, because it is hilarious. I thought it was funny because they're just having a party about Melody, mm-hmm. and Ariel's daughter, when she was a baby. And, you know, they're having fun time, and Morgana just comes in out of nowhere and just swipes the baby and is like going around like, whoa, it's a party. And Sebastian just goes, it's Ursula's crazy sister. And everyone's just like freaks out. And it's just great. She does seem pretty crazy, though.
I liked the amount of special effects they used in this film.
Explain one to us.
Yeah, what do you mean?
All of this underwater stuff is special effects. Right?
Oh,
all the bubbles and stuff like that.
I think a lot of that was actually hand-drawn.
Yeah, I don't... There's only one or two scenes that stuck out to me really as obvious CG.
The underwater setting required the most special effects of animation from the Disney studio.
I don't know what you mean by special effects.
1 million bubbles were drawn for this film, in addition to others used for airbrushing, backlighting, superimposition, and some computer animation. For all the,
I'm saying I don't even understand what the definition of a special effect is. Hand drawn things are.
No, it sounds like they drew the bubbles, but to add lightning effects to the bubbles and stuff were all special effects.
I think so. So anything that's not a background or a character.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or a foreground is going to be a special effect.
Okay. I can see that, yeah. Drawing everything underwater is a lot more challenging to make it look real. Or plausible, at least.
Yeah. It has a good look. The environments do work. Aside from maybe, like you mentioned, the couple places where it is...
There's some weird
CG stuff going on. Like, I think most egregious, like, there's that weird scene in the towards the end where Ursula is getting big, right?
Yeah, and you see Sebastian.
Angle up the camera.
Yeah.
But they kind of obfuscate. So they kind of know that it's not totally right.
Yeah.
So they kind of go through it quickly. All of the big CG scenes, really fast.
Yeah.
Although the boat was entirely CG. Every time they did
the boat
like
scene.
Not a detail scene,
yeah,
that
really?
Was CG, and it worked okay.
At the end, you mean?
When it's swirling around.
Yeah, you can tell. Yeah. You can tell for sure, but it's not. It's not detracting.
What was
anything.
Worse, though, was when they were in that hall, and I think, I don't remember exactly what was it. I think Ariel was walking toward the camera, and everything is moving back. It's a really fast scene that's all CG. And it doesn't look bad, it just doesn't.
Flow.
Really look right with everything else,
but it's an improvement from the subway scene from
it's a minor detail.
Oliver and Company.
It's the evolution of that, too. It's not a huge improvement from that, though.
this is the late 80s we're talking
about.
Oh, 89.
This is way
extremely
early.
Experimental at the time.
Yeah.
Or innovative, I guess.
Pixar hadn't even hit them yet.
I have no idea when Pixar was formed.
Pixar was probably still a division of Lucasfilm at that point.
They helped out on the next film.
Ah.
The Rescuers Down Under. Which is shortly the next year, 1990. So this really started the succession.
Yeah, they just start churning them out at this point, basically.
We made this point, I think, earlier in another podcast, but it took us from 1940 to about mid-1980 to get through 26 films. the next 26 only take us like 20 years.
Yeah, that's
that was because they pop one out like every year.
Yeah, it basically we get the majority of the 26 from 1988, 89 to 2000 like eight.
So were they concurrently developing two or three at a time?
Two, it sounds like, for the most part.
That's still ridiculously fast.
Yeah. They might be three, some of the more complicated ones. But the story development, I think, has been going on for many, many years.
I know that now they do three at least at a time.
Yeah.
Concurrently at Disney Animation. It's
three films. It's crazy.
Well, they're all in different stages, so.
Yeah, but I mean, there's a lot of people.
Yes, it is.
I don't know. It's I like this film. I think it's I'm glad we got this to cleanse our palate from the last one.
Can we talk a little bit about, before we leave, Sebastian?
Yeah, what do you want to talk about Sebastian?
Why is he
Jamaican?
Jamaican, yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking that too.
Why would you like him to be?
He was, I think, originally supposed to be British.
Yeah.
Really?
The British voice didn't work.
But I guess it was just, you know, everyone in any Kingdom movie is British, so why not make him Jamaican? He's just,
I couldn't. I like it, actually.
Oh no, I think he's awesome, but why?
what else would he be?
Something else? I don't know. Like he's kind of like the oddball in this group.
Is it possible that they just knew of a voice actor who could do a killer Jamaican accent, and they said possible. let's make him Jamaican?
Maybe so. Maybe
and you
so.
Know, I think because of that though, that's where Under the Sea was really born.
Hmm. Yeah,
you know,
I mean,
if he was British, he wouldn't be able to pull
that
off.
No. I'd go see that.
You would see a British Under the Sea,
yeah, totally.
Vocal performance.
It'd be like a symphony instead, like an actual like orchestra or something.
It would make more sense why Ariel would bail, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're like, what's going on? This part is actually kind of cool and hopping. And you're like, why is she leaving the cool things? Because she doesn't know what's cool.
Hmm. She just wants what's different.
Yeah. She's like, Sebastian does this all the time. I'm sick and tired of it.
But Sebastian, you know, he was kind of a little bit stuffy in the beginning. Just be like, Ariel, don't do this. You're only a teenager. You don't know anything. But he actually warmed up to her a lot.
Yeah.
During the movie.
And all it took was those eyes.
Yeah, her eyes are creepy at times, for sure.
It's the only way.
And some of those scenes where it zooms in on her face, her eyes change directions and sizes and intensity.
Doesn't that happen in real life? You just zoom in on a girl's face. That's what happens. Nice
girl. I don't know what kind of girls you've been around.
Crazy
you
girls.
Shouldn't be anymore, though.
But she did pretty well for not being able to speak. I love how Eric guesses her name in three tries.
Well, with Sebastian's help.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, Sebastian just is like, this is taking way too long. We've got to move this along.
He's like, you got two guesses. Oh, you couldn't get it in two guesses? Start again. Here.
I really love that scene. Scuttle comes in again, of course, and he starts going wah wah, wah. And then Eric is that name Eric? Yes, he's rowing the boat. And he's like, oh god, someone should put that bird out of his.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah, that was brilliant.
Sebastian. Too.
Sebastian's like, I'm working with amateurs here. Amateurs.
He got a really good like musical thing going though, like all the fishes and the turtles.
Well, he is the.
No one's impressed. I don't know why.
Yeah,
he's putting together these really. He just got some random ducks and turtles.
He
and like made a killer
it.
Love song.
Yeah.
He's like, all right, let me go get this piece of grass, and I'm just gonna make a conducting wand out of it, and just be like, all right, first you need this percussions, and then you bring in the flamingos, and then you bring in these other guys.
He even controls the wind the way it blows through the bamboo.
Yeah, he's pretty badass.
Maybe Sebastian's the real king of the sea. He just lays low by the king's side.
I mean,
so Trident's like a puppet.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
that's why he's so soft. And
yeah, I can see that.
Did you guys ever see the cartoon series?
I remember it, but I remember seeing it, but I don't remember what was in it.
I think it was just It was like Adventures of.
Yeah,
Ariel.
It went running for like 2 years. Or
yeah,
something
it wasn't
like
that
this.
Long. I think it was just one off.
I remember seeing that on TV though.
Yeah.
When was that?
It was about 94, 95.
Yeah, it was like around 94-ish.
Yeah.
This is when Disney Channel was like a premium cable channel then, right?
I think so.
Okay.
I think they showed now on Disney Junior or something sometimes.
Huh.
I think they brought it back when they did the re-release this year. Like, they kind of brought back the cartoons.
Huh.
Got to cash in on that IP whenever you can.
Oh, yeah.
Well, just go all in with it.
It is one of the most well-known movies, I think.
And
of
with
Disney
good
catalog.
Reason.
Yeah, I
with
think so.
With very good reason.
And
I would
the,
agree with that.
The
it's
song.
Not my style, but the movie's pretty good overall.
Yeah. I think the songs are what totally draws you. I think if it's not this, you were right, Dregaru, when if there was no songs in this movie, I don't think this, or if it was even decreased amount of songs to what it has now, I don't think it's the same movie.
Oh, no, no, no.
No, the songs make this movie.
Yeah, yeah, they're integral.
But I like how this evolves naturally into when we see Beauty and the Beast.
I mean the songs?
Song style, yeah. Song choice
yeah.
and how they did the songs
yeah,
and the staging.
Yeah, I would say so.
It becomes less of just like, oh, let's add a song here because
we need to add a song.
Sounds fun. But, you know, definitely these songs just, they really drive like the emotion of the story. Like,
definitely.
From the perspective of the characters, like they, you really can.
Without them just having to like shoehorn in some weird conversation with somebody to like express their innermost feelings, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it does work.
It's plot
better.
Device.
It is. I think it's the most appropriate in some of the situations they
yeah.
use it too.
And it's quick, right? In a 3-minute song, you can get a lot of information rather than some guy trying to ask you all these questions.
Why do you want to go
to the surface world? Do you like the sand? Oh, yeah. So that's what bothered me. She sings about trying to be nice and warm on the sand and feel the sun's rays. She does that in the movie. While she's a mermaid.
Well, like, she's not allowed to.
Yeah, but she does it.
I don't know.
She wouldn't just go up there all the time and hang
just
out.
Just sunbathe on the
yeah.
beach.
Yeah, like. Just sunbathe.
She got mad when she just went up, or King Triton got mad when she just went up to talk to Scuttle. Out in like the middle of the nowhere.
Yeah.
In the ocean.
I liked Scuttle's response about when she got legs and trying to figure out what's new about her. And thought first it was the hairdo. And then it's like, oh, you got new shells. It's like, okay, Scuttle.
Maybe King Triton just knew about Scuttle specifically. Maybe that's what his beef was. He's like, I know that guy.
He had experience with Scuttle.
He's totally full of that.
Like, yeah, because she totally could have, or he could totally been like, who's Scuttle?
Yeah.
He must know Scuttle.
He has a reputation.
He's like, oh, this
he's the other one who's been banished from their kingdom. They just don't talk about it as much as Ursula.
Scuttle doesn't have as many enemies. He's just like, okay.
He's not hurting anyone. He's just spreading misinformation.
I don't know. Some of it seems logical.
Oh, yeah. No, everything he says is based in logic. It's just entirely incorrect.
Like the pipe. Yeah, if you see people blow into like...
Yeah.
Tubas or something.
Yeah, he'd be like,
yeah,
oh,
he
this
thinks
looks
it's, he thinks it's one of Prince Eric's flutes that he throws into the water after every performance.
Oh. Okay. I think that's that wraps up this film. Is there anything else you guys want to touch upon?
So how are the sequels? Pray tell.
I've never seen Ariel's Beginning in its
so the
entirety.
Ariel's Beginning is a prequel.
Okay.
That's the third one you said?
Yeah.
And I'm gonna not... Well, I wasn't a fan of Little Mermaid 2.
Little Mermaid 2 is trying to be the Little Mermaid without the Little Mermaid.
Is it retelling the same story?
Yes.
It's
in
just,
the reverse
it's
order.
It's just reverse, right?
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
I guess that makes
the
sense.
The human wants to go to the sea instead.
Yeah.
What?
All
this
they
work
were
and
that's
now
what
you're gonna undo everything?
Yeah. It's pretty much that's the movie.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think... For me, you know, Ariel's character, Ariel when she was young, you know, you do see kind of like an innocent curiosity to it. And I don't know, for me, I really liked her character, but Melody for some reason just grated on me really bad.
It's her name, Melody.
Melody. Well, it's a good one to check out if you're
maybe
interested.
It's because you could identify more with her mother, Ariel.
Probably.
And you wouldn't, if you were in Ariel's position, you wouldn't want your kid doing that either.
Well, it's the first sequel that I've seen that doesn't focus on the same main characters.
Well, Lion King, I don't think did either, right?
Right, but this is the first sequel.
Oh, okay.
Right?
I don't remember when it came
out.
Oh,
wait. Yeah, when did it come out?
Let me look it up.
Not that that's crucial.
It's totally crucial, so we can...
People want to know this stuff. You'd be surprised. Mostly me when I'm listening.
Which one were we looking at? The Little Mermaid.
Because The Lion King 2 came out pretty soon after the theatrical release, I believe. And this definitely would have been in the late 90s.
Little Mermaid 2 came out...
When they were on that turn of Disney Toon, just turning out sequels.
This came out in 2000.
To make cash. So there we go. Yeah. Lion King probably came out in... When did Lion King came out? 94? So it probably came out in 6, 7?
Which
no,
Lion King?
Lion King 2, I think it was later
Lion
than
Lion King 2?
Yeah.
Scar's Revenge or something? Pride? Simba's Pride?
Pride.
Scar's Revenge?
Scar's
oh,
dead. Scar's
I would so watch that movie. That sounds
he's,
awesome.
He's straight up dead, though. Isn't
yes, he
dead?
Is. So it would be... Kovu is his descendant, right?
Yeah.
It's descendant of Scar. So it would be... That would be a way cooler movie.
This came out in 1998.
Oh, there you go. So it came out early.
Good job, Dragaria.
Right on. There you go.
Yeah, so you did it. You got it right.
Hooray.
You know your sequels very well.
I'm afraid I know that one.
Because it's your favorite movie of all time.
No, not exactly.
Simba's Pride?
Simba's Pride is The Lion King.
Number one.
Yes.
In your book.
No.
I got you.
You almost said it. He almost said it.
He said yes.
No.
I think we had that on tape. Oh, he's reaching for the... Oh,
oh no. Slap him.
It's too late, guys. No idea what you're talking about.
This does have a cartoon series, and like Hercules did, and like
Aladdin
also had a lot of those, and The Emperor's New Groove had that.
Right.
Oh,
did
the
Beauty
Emperor's
and the Beast
New
get one?
School.
Beauty and the Beast got a little
sequel.
They got a midquel.
No, the cartoon series, though?
No, they got a live action.
What?
She read books.
What?
This sounds interesting.
What are you talking about?
There's a live action Beauty and the Beast.
Like a movie or a
No, musical? Just a show.
What?
Yeah. So it's Belle. What? Belle reads books. It's kind of like Reading Rainbow.
Oh, you know what? I think I remember this.
Yeah. It's like Reading Rainbow, but with Belle instead of LeVar Burton.
Once again, Catatonic Cat, how do you watch all these things? I don't understand.
I just consume all media into my head. It's probably bad.
Oh, someone has to do it.
Is this a real thing? Are you just pulling our strings?
Yeah.
Did I just totally buy into it?
You'll have to know, and you'll find out in the Beauty
and
the Beast.
I could have been thinking of some other show.
No,
the
it's...
The Girl Who Reads Books. I don't know.
The Girl Who Reads Books show. Beauty and the Beast. Belle Reading? Belle.
It's bad Ariel can do the same thing. She's kind of stuck underwater. I guess you could. It would be kind of awkward to sit like a mermaid in a chair.
Let me tell you falls off a chair.
Oh, there's Belle's Tales of Friendship, a live action animated Disney film.
Animated? Wait, what?
Live action animated Disney film.
Yep.
How does that work?
Belle owns
that's not
and
what
works
you said
at a
at
music
all.
Bookstore in France. A group of children walk into the store eager to hear I don't know how this works. There's live action Belle.
And then the stories are cartoons, probably.
Yep. So okay. Maybe this is what I'm talking about.
That's not a cartoon series. That's just a movie.
Well, let's see.
So you're 100% wrong.
I don't know. I think there is one. There's a live action show, Beauty and the Beast.
Mm.
Actually, you know who penned that show?
Who? No.
George R.R. Martin.
Really?
What?
Yes.
Wow.
That's,
what?
Yes.
What?
Sounds like Denise is going to get be all over
that.
Not
minute. The new show. The original show from like the 80s. It had like 3 seasons or something. That show is penned by George R.R. Martin.
Beauty and the Beast?
Yes.
Did really?
Yes.
Did he shoehorn some dragons into it? Or
no, there's no dragons into it.
No.
Yeah, so because, now you know how his mind works. Kind of.
No, I don't.
You should watch that show. It's it was crazy. There's like love triangle. It's basically Game of Thrones.
Sweet.
But there's a beast. And the guy that plays Beast is actually the same guy that plays Hellboy. What's his name?
Ron Perlman.
Yeah, Ron Perlman is Beast. So, there you go. He knows how to wear makeup.
Cool. That's...
that's the best thing that be. That's not even the Beauty and the Beast podcast.
I know. I was just saying we should probably stop the Beauty and the Beast stuff on this Little Mermaid podcast.
We'll discuss more.
Ariel's getting overshadowed. Save Ariel.
We will save Ariel. She sings well. We will continue Beauty and the Beast discussion in like 5 weeks.
I don't think it's that far off.
3 weeks.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Sure. That sounds right.
That sounds right.
Cool.
We might know. We might not. We're two guys without a clue.
Indeed.
So yeah, that was not Beauty and the Beast. I was gonna say that was Beauty and the Beast. That was Little Mermaid. So better than Oliver and Company?
Oh, way better than Oliver and Company.
Right on. Are you looking forward to Rescuers Down Under?
I don't know. I didn't really like The Rescuers, so.
But you've seen The Rescuers Down Under, right?
I have seen both of. Yeah, I saw the rest. I never saw The Rescuers, did I?
Wait a minute.
You participated on a podcast.
You've seen both of them. Wait, I haven't seen The Rescuers.
I saw Rescuers Down Under. I saw them. Yeah, I saw Rescuers Down Under.
Okay. Okay, I'm satisfied.
With my answer? Or just in general?
Just in general, yeah.
Life's good. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. Could be worse.
I'm looking forward to the 1990s. We'll see what non-80s styles we get.
What's the next movie you're looking forward to?
Let me look at the...
Or is it going to be all disappointments?
They're all so bad that you can't even think of one.
Beauty and the Beast.
Would you like... Yeah. Beauty and the Beast is good. Let me see. Okay. Beauty and the Beast is the next one after Rescuers Down Under. I like Aladdin.
Mm-hmm.
Pocahontas, I like.
Yeah. Aladdin sounds more appealing.
I like Mulan.
What about Lion King? You guys are skipping an essential one.
Well, other ones we're looking...
That's Dragory's.
Yeah, that's already. His already.
That's my wheelhouse.
I'm looking for... I like Mulan. And yeah, I like...
It's Mulan's okay. Good.
I like The Emperor's New Groove.
Yeah, but that's an anomaly.
I haven't seen that movie.
Really?
In a long time. Yeah.
It's on Netflix now. It's like super good.
So okay. If we just look to the 90s, I would say I'm looking forward to Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, Pocahontas, and Mulan.
Cool. Well, I guess soon enough we'll see if that holds out.
Probably not.
All right.
And with that.
And we're done. Good night.
Are you kidding me?
Come on. This is... Give us a real outro.
Yes, we need an actual outro. Please.
How do I do that? And this is Two Guys Without a Clue.
You just sound depressed.
Do this every single time. Why do you not have like just a standard one you use? What happened to the tongue clicking?
So that was great. I'm glad we're getting into the 90s.
Wait, no, you gotta sell it harder. That was great. You're that was just like a filler. For you to say the next thing.
Oh.
Give me some conviction. What's more appealing?
I am so glad we don't have to watch.
No. I'm so glad.
I am so glad.
Now we're talking. Continue.
Okay, I'm really excited for the next decade of film. I think there's a lot of good animation that we get to see, and I think you'll enjoy the ride, and a lot more of our viewers will actually... I've seen these films in theaters, so it's going to be very interesting to see their comments, and we would love to you guys to tweet to us at 2Guack about what you think of the movies and how we're doing on our podcast, and if there's any differing opinions you had to what we had.
Awesome.
And if you would like to be a guest on our podcast, let us know. All right. This has been Two Guys Without a Clue. I've been Catatonic Cat.
I'm Dragaroo.
And thank you, Denise and Boss Breton, for joining us on this very special edition of our podcast.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
And maybe we'll have a first three-peat with Boss Breton in the near future.
Yeah.
Yep. That'll be good. Sure. And maybe Denise, if you would like to come on for another one.
Yes.
Be great. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Bye.
les poissons, love to chop and to serve little fish. First I cut off their heads and I pull out their bones. Ah, mais oui, ça c'est toujours délire. Les poissons, hi hi hi, ha ha ha. With a cleaver I hack them in two. I pull out what's inside and I serve it up fried. God, I love little fishes, don't you? Here's something for tempting the palate. Prepared in the classic.